Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for the Spirit of God speaking to us and through us. Thank you for ministering to our children. Thank you, Lord, that our minds are being renewed, bodies are being touched, and I thank you, lives are being changed in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking this morning, years ago I had allergies. When I was a kid in Louisville, Kentucky, I had allergies so bad that there would be days that I would have to just stay home and stay in bed for 8 or 10 hours. My eyes would swell shut. That's how bad I would have it. So one time I got taken to an allergy specialist, and they did that. They probably don't do it today, but they would do those little scratch tests and drop the. Do they still do that today? They do? Holy cow, that was right off. Noah got off the ark. But anyway, it was a long time ago. But they dropped those, everything that you could be allergic to in the back, on my back. And I had a reaction. The doctor made a, here's everything you've been allergic to. And so they sent me home. And when I got home, it was just me and my sister. My mom was at work. And so I started really reacting to it. It got into my bloodstream or something, I don't know how, but I started hyperventilating, and I was having a hard time breathing. My sister, she called the doctor, and they said, oh, just put him in the bathtub and put something in it, I don't know what. But anyway, it did not help. And so I was having a hard time breathing, and I thought, wow. I think I was just like 9 or 10 years old, and I thought I was going to go see Jesus. And my sister, there, two doors down, there was a policeman who lived, and he just so happened to be home. He was off that day. So she ran down there, beat on his door, and said, my brother is having some issues. And so he put me in a police car, which I thought was real cool. The lights were going. And we weren't, my mom said, you weren't flying, but you were passing things that were flying. But anyway, we were smoking up the street, and it was just, even though I couldn't breathe, I thought, well, this is really cool, in the front seat of the police car. But he got me to the doctor where he did the test and everything. He says, you need to bring him in right up. And then they just gave me all kinds of shots to go against whatever was happening to my body, which was quite fun. But I remember that the doctor told my sister, said, you need to tell your mother that he needs to move out of the Ohio Valley. The Ohio Valley is a low part where the Ohio River is, and that's where we live. And he said, all of the pollen just sits inside of the Ohio Valley. And so he suggested that we move to Alaska. So obviously that didn't happen. But anyway, I had allergies really, really, really bad, and for many, many years. And then when I found out about healing, when I was 18, I went to a church that believed in healing. They started teaching healing, and so I thought, well, dear Lord, I'm going to believe God to be healed of these things, because I would dread every fall. It got really, really bad. Midsummer, it was decent, and then late summer and early fall, I said spring. Spring, all of spring was, everybody loved spring. I hated spring. Yeah, just like that. That's right on cue. If y'all could work with me more when I'm doing sermon illustrations, I would appreciate that. Just saying. But anyway, I started believing that, and what I did was, it took Mike a while to get a hold of the revelation of healing, and I got healed. And then I felt, a few years after that, I felt like I lost it. Allergies came back on me, and I lost it. Let me just tell you all, I'm going to teach you something here. You don't lose, because the devil would get in your mind and say, oh, you lost it. No, what he's doing is bringing back the symptoms on you to get you to agree with him that you lost it. And once you've lost it, you think that, oh, I'm going to have to live with this for the rest of my life. And that's what I started thinking. If you believe that you have to live with something, you will live with that. So anyway, I went to Bible school at Brother Hagin in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and of course they were really strong in healing, and so I started getting a hold of that. And what happened, this is just what Mike did. Don't say, oh, this is what you have to do to get healed. No, don't. I'm not saying that. But what I did was I worked with FedEx, and so I was constantly busy all the time, and so I wanted to be able to think on the Word of God concerning healing. So I was memorizing healing scriptures, and so I went to, some retail store, and I said, I want to watch that beeps the loudest that I can set every hour on the hour. They said, what? You know, that's what you want? Yeah, I don't care anything. I want an alarm that will beep every hour on the hour and loudly so I can hear it. And he found me one. So I bought it, and so I set it every hour on the hour that I was awake. And every hour it would alarm, just like that alarm it's going off. Let's just see how long we can keep this going. This is the first time I've been preaching for 30-something years. This has never happened. But anyway, signs and wonders are showing up in my ministry right here today. Somebody's going to get healed. So the alarm would go off, and I would, if I was with somebody, I would just say to my mind, you know, I would repeat that scripture in my mind. But if I was alone, I would quote a scripture, the healing scriptures. I did that every hour on the hour, every day after day after day after day after day. And I did that through the whole winter, and then spring came. And my wife and we were watching the news before I would go to work, and they said, this is the worst spring ever in the history of Tulsa. People who don't even have allergies have been complaining and sneezing and everything. My wife and I looked at each other. I had not sneezed or had any reaction whatsoever. So I was healed and didn't even know I was healed. But this is what I want to say to you. I felt like I should say this, that just because, you know, several things. But one thing is this, if you're believing for healing and you seem like you've battled for a long time, this is what the Lord wants you to know. Don't give up and don't give in. Are you hearing me? Don't give in to that. Don't just say, I'm going to, because I did do that. There was a time where I said, I'm just going to have to live with allergies for the rest of my life. And listen to me, they were so bad that I hated life. I hated life. And then, you know, they started coming up with, drugs that you could take. And so I took them. Boy, did I take them. But all of the drugs, this was, you know, a few years ago, 45 years ago. I was just, and I'm still young, just so you know. I'm trying to talk my way out of this. But anyway, The medication they had back then, all of them made you drowsy and sleepy. So I was just a walking zombie. My allergies were good, but I mean, I look at you like, you know, what's your name? And but this is the point I want you to know. I went through all of that. And then when I started learning about healing, I knew that I knew that I knew it was a promise of God, and I was going to get it no matter what. And so I just didn't give up. So I'm encouraging you not to give up. Don't ever get to the point, I'm going to have to live with this for the rest of my life. That is the devil talking, not you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, healing is in you. And if you don't believe, if you're visiting this church or if you've been coming to this church and you say, I just don't believe that. Well, the problem with that is you won't receive. It's not God withholding. I used to think that I had to have stronger faith and more faith so I could get God to heal me. We do not serve that kind of a God. He has provided healing for you. You need to renew your mind. I said you need to renew your mind and believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he has provided healing and he has put it inside of you already. It is in you already. You just got to get a hold of your believer and say, what is within me, I'm going to believe that it would be manifested on the outside of me. And then if you did, and I didn't know this, you know, it came, or I thought it, I lost it, but I thought, oh, it came back. Now I'm, oh, it's just going to be very, very difficult. When it does come back, that's when, as soon as you get something coming back on you, you need to say, I resist this in the name of Jesus because I'm healed of that. It cannot come back on me because I'm healed of it in the name of Jesus. That happened to me 3 or 4 different times. About allergies have tried to come back on me 3 or 4 different times. In the first couple of times, I didn't know. I just thought, oh, I lost it. I didn't lose it. It's just the enemy coming back to say, knock, knock, knock. I'm back. Your response should be, I'm not receiving this. I am not. I'm redeemed from it. Let the redeemed of the Lord just quiet about it. Then I'm telling you, he will eat your lunch. You ready for the sermon? Luke chapter 19, verse 28. Hallelujah. This is Palm Sunday. Everybody, happy Palm Sunday. After saying all of this, Jesus headed straight for Jerusalem. When he arrived at the stables of Ananias near the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples ahead, saying, when you enter the next village, you will find tethered there a donkey's young colt that he has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. And if anyone stops you and asks, what are you doing? Just tell him this, it is needed for the Lord of all. The 2 who were sent entered the village and found the colt exactly like Jesus had said. While they were untying the colt, the owners approached them and said, what are you doing? The disciples replied, we need this donkey for the Lord of all. They brought the colt to Jesus. Then they placed their prayer shawls on its back, and Jesus rode it as he descended the Mount of Olives toward Jerusalem. As he rode along, people spontaneously threw their prayer shawls on the path in front of him like a carpet. As soon as he got to the bottom of the Mount of Olives, the crowds of the followers shouted with a loud outburst of ecstatic joy over all the mighty wonders of power they had witnessed. Now, this is about getting close to the end of Jesus' ministry. He's getting ready to be crucified the following week and leave the planet physically. But for 3 years, everybody has heard the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've heard the miracles. They just have been overwhelmed. So now they're all gathered in Jerusalem, and he's riding on a donkey into town. 38, they shouted over and over, highest praises to God for the one who comes as king in the name of the Lord. Heaven's peace and glory from the highest realm now comes to us. Some Jewish religious leaders who stood off from the procession said to Jesus, teacher, you must order your followers at once to stop saying these things. Let me just pause right there. This is the religious leaders of the time. They were the ones who studied the word of God. They had all of the prophecies about the coming Messiah. And so they were the only ones against Jesus when this was happening. All of the heathens were praising Jesus. All the people that were not part of the religious sect were praising Jesus. That's astounding. It really is. It says, you must order your followers at once to stop saying these things. Jesus responded, listen to me, if my followers were silenced, the very stones would break forth with praises. That tells me that creation is waiting and honoring everything who God is and who Jesus is. And if we, the people, listen to me, you may not have a hard time swallowing this, but if all of the people were silent when this was happening, he said the very rocks would cry out. I've never heard a rock cry out. I've hit somebody with a rock when I was a kid, and I heard them cry out, but I've never heard the rock crying out, I'm coming after you. I'm going to hit you. Rocks, you know, to my knowledge, don't cry out. But the supernatural creation that is waiting on Jesus, if the people did not cry out, Rocks would have. I know that's hard to swallow, but they would have. Jesus responded, listen to me, if the followers were silent, the stones would break forth with praises. When Jesus caught sight of the city, he's still riding it down the hill into the city, he burst into tears with uncontrollable weeping over Jerusalem. Now get the picture here. The religious people are all whining and complaining over here. Everybody else is praising Jesus and celebrating, and Jesus is crying. Now, some people may have caught with their peripheral vision, oh, man, he's so ecstatic and happy that he's crying. No, no, this was not a happy cry. This is not a happy cry. He said in verse 42, saying, if only you could recognize that this day peace is within your reach, but you cannot see it. He burst in uncontrollable tears, saying, crying over the city, because he realized that everything that they need was within their reach, and they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. This is what I got out of that. We could fall into that same trap today. Healing is within our reach, but you might not be able to see it. Prosperity and every need being met in an abundant way is within your reach, but you might not be able to see it. Everything that God is, just hold that thought. Galatians 5:22. This is the Passion Translation. It says this, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, joy is within your reach. Peace that subdues, peace is within your reach. Patience that endures, patience is within your reach. So don't, you should just take that out of your vocabulary. Oh, I just need more patience. No, patience is within your reach. Kindness in action. Oh, I'm just not that kind of a person. Yeah, we all know that. But still, kindness. Are you hearing me? A life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. All the fruit of the Spirit has no limit. That it is limitless, which means the kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and everything that is in the fruit of the Spirit has no limit. Now, in the natural, if we limit it, once we meet an unkind person, then our kindness stops. But it is unlimited on the inside of you. When somebody does something ugly to you, the love of God is limitless on the inside of you, but the love of God is limitless. You and I are the one who are limiting it. Come on now. We limit it, not God, not the devil. The devil gets way too much credit for stuff that happens. And just so you know, he has no power over you and me. None. Zippo. Nada. Zero power over you and me. He has no authority over you and me, period. Let me just say, Jesus said this, all a power and authority has been given to me. If something has all, is any left out? This is just simple common sense. If I have all of the sports cars on the planet in the city of Pueblo, that means there's no sports cars throughout the rest of the world because I have them all. Jesus said, I really wasn't that great of an illustration, but I couldn't think of anything else. It was, sports cars were on my mind. But anyway, this is the thing. Jesus says, all authority and power has been given to me. All. You need to meditate upon that. That means the devil has zero power and authority over you and me. The only power and authority he's been given is what we have been deceived in giving him. Then he has it. He has no power and authority over you and me because Jesus took it all. 2,000 years ago, he took it all. A-L-L, he took it all. This is Galatians 5. Let me finish Galatians 5:24. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, do you belong to Jesus? That we who belong to Jesus, the anointed one, have already experienced crucifixion. Have already experienced crucifixion. And just, this is just a side note. You know, people say, oh, I just need to crucify my flesh. Really? You need to, huh? According to this, have already. You know, I didn't do so well in English, but you know, have already means it's past tense. Would everybody agree? I may need a witness on this. Is that right? Okay, I'm just checking. Have already. In the past, I've already experienced crucifixion, which means your flesh has been crucified. Now, you can work all you want to in trying to crucify it again and again and again, and the devil will keep telling you, you just need to work a little bit harder in crucifying that flesh. You're almost there. Keep trying. It says you've already experienced crucifixion, for everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with the Messiah. Whoa, that's good news. And if you get a revelation of that, you'll understand that not only is your flesh been crucified 2,000 years ago, but every sin that we have submitted to has already been crucified on the cross 2,000 years. Every single addiction, every single sin, everything that troubles us and causes us to have insecurities and weaknesses has been crucified. We'll take it another step. Every sickness known to man, or every will be known to man, was crucified and nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. Every sickness and disease, every poverty and lack, everything under the curse in Deuteronomy chapter 28, that's 60-something scriptures long. The first 14 or 15 talk about the blessing. The rest of those scriptures talk about the curse. You'll be cursed in your womb. You'll be cursed in your bowels. You'll have all kinds of, you know, all those diseases that you don't know what they are, but you know they don't sound good and you don't want them. All of these, you'll be cursed in the field. You'll be cursed in your barns. If you understand that, that was the way they had an agricultural type economy. So if there's no fruit on the trees and nothing growing in the fields and the barn's empty, you're worse than broke. You're worse than broke. But the curse says that is what's going to be affected. All of the fruit, all of the things that you're going to grow in the field, and your barns are going to be empty. That's part of the curse. I didn't give you this scripture, Julie. Can you pull up Galatians 3:13? I wasn't going there, but we're here. Galatians 3:13. Through a curveball. Any translation? There we go. Christ paid the full price. How much? The full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed it completely as he became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who's hung on a tree is doubly cursed. And if you don't know, and you just read all those 50 million scriptures in there, and it tells you what the curse is. You'll be cursed in your body. Your wife's womb will be cursed. You know, every time a woman gets pregnant, we try to give them, we call them womb scriptures. They're scriptures of promise about your womb to be blessed, the fruit of your womb to be blessed. But in Deuteronomy 28 says, if you're not serving God, you'll be cursed. And people say that today, you know, I'm just cursed by God. Well, if you believe the lie. Again, you are empowering the devil. People, the devil has to get his power from people because he has none. He has none. The authority and the power he gets is from you and me, from us. From people. So, Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, if you don't serve the Lord your God, if you don't obey him, if you don't do all these things. Well, this is what I thought. Well, the curse can come on me because I don't obey perfectly. I don't hear God perfectly. I don't do all these things perfectly. Would anybody else fall into that category? Just so you know, all of us do, in case you're being a little on the righteous side this morning. All of us fall into that category. You never obey perfectly. You never could keep the law perfectly and everything that God says. You and I can't do that. Nobody's perfect. There was only one. His name was Jesus. And ever since Jesus, God has not had one perfect vessel to work with. Everybody love the preacher now? Nobody. That's why we needed a Savior. So this is what you read Deuteronomy. When you read Deuteronomy 28, do it this way. Because Jesus has obeyed the voice of the Lord. I need to pull up Deuteronomy 28. Somebody pull up Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9. Deuteronomy 28, 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all people of the earth shall see that you are called by my name. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey his voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So that's my point I'm going to make. It says, if you don't obey his voice, if you don't observe all of the commandments, all of his laws, and keep it perfectly and never miss a one, he said, if you don't do that, then it's possible for you to open up a door for all these curses to come upon you and me. I don't know about you, but that's just not reassuring to me. Because, like I said, who is perfect in hearing the voice of God and obeying it to the T, dotting every I, crossing every T? Who is perfect about keeping all of the law? Just Jesus. But you and I? No. So this is the way you and I can read it. But it shall come to pass that Jesus has obeyed the voice of the Lord God, and he has been careful to observe all of his commandments and statutes, and he has kept them all perfectly for you and me. That is better than good news. Because that he did that, the whole curse shall not come nigh my dwelling. Why? Galatians 3:13, he bore it all. He bore the curse of the law. And now we are recipients of that. And even though you and I may miss it, sin, or just flat out, whatever. Let me just correct it this way because people think, oh, so it doesn't matter if I sin. Oh, yeah, sin will eat your lunch. It will. So we're not saying it's okay to sin for all those who are being stupid. Paul said, you know, are you stupid? You still, is it okay for us to sin so grace can abound in our lives? Paul said, don't be so stupid now. So I'm just, that's a Mike Davis translation of what Paul said, all right? But this is what he said. Don't be stupid. But this is what I am saying. Don't let the devil tell you you have sinned, therefore you can't be a recipient of the blessing of God. Now you're falling into his trap. Are you hearing me? You should never think, I am not perfect, therefore I cannot receive. No, that is not the way to think. You should be thinking, Jesus was perfect for me, and the perfect one lives on the inside of me. Therefore, I'm a recipient of everything that has been promised. Woohoo! That's why we can say at the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out. Whatever I set my hand to shall surely prosper. I've been made the head and not the tail. I'm blessed because of Jesus. I'm blessed because of him. He kept the law perfectly. He was the perfect sacrifice. He is the one who did it all, and he did it for you and me. Yes. So we're blessed. You don't have to let the devil try to talk you out of it. And that's his main point. Oh, man, I blew it this week. I blew it. I remember years ago, Danielle was just probably 9, 10, something like that. She was a little kid. We went back to Kentucky to visit our relatives, and my sister had a basement, and she was playing with some other kids, and the lights were turned out. So she was going down. I don't know if they were playing hide and seek or what, but she was going down. She thought she was at the bottom stair, but there was one more. And so she fell, and I think she broke her collarbone. I think, is that the time she broke her collarbone? We're going with that. Anyway, she broke something. But right before that, Melody and I had a strongly disagreement. Most people would call it a very heated argument, you know, where your vein could pop out and you're just mad and you're just like, So when she fell and broke something, we're on the way to the emergency room. I'm sitting there in the car thinking, this is all my fault. I let strife into my family. So this is just, you know, God letting me know. Mike, you screwed up. So this is why your daughter broke something. It's all your fault. I thought that for years. I mean, for years. I thought she got something broke, and the Lord allowed that, even maybe wanted it to happen for retribution because of my strife. Is that terrible or what? In case you don't know, that is terrible. It's very, very terrible to think that way and run down that road. That road will take you to a place you don't want to end up at. That journey will take you to a destination you do not want to say, oh, welcome. Welcome to discouragement and room, despair, and agony on me. And you can sing about that and make a country song out of it, but it's not a good place. It took years for God to get to me to rethink God. I said, Mike, you were deceived into thinking that way. That's the kind of God that you serve, that when you do something wrong, then you open up the door and he just loves pouring the curse on you. Do not let the devil do that to you and talk to you and cause you to believe that. Because if you believe it, you'll see it manifested. So I believe that. You know how many times bad things happen between, that was the big one, but I mean, many little subtle bad things happen, and that was always running. The devil would just hit play on the tape recorder. Yep, you deserve that. You deserve that. You deserve that. You deserve that. I'm just telling you, this is why I didn't want to go here. I wanted to go with Palm Sunday. Anyway, this is the thing for you and me. We need to get a hold of the goodness of God, that you're redeemed from the curse. Just read Galatians 3:13. You need to read Deuteronomy 28. And because Jesus fulfilled everything in there, you and I could never obey God to the full. I always thought, I don't know if I'll ever be able to be blessed. Because I know Mike. Mike does not obey the voice of God all the time. Mike does not obey everything all the time. I'm just not that good of a person. Maybe you are. Okay, I doubt it. But anyway, for those who are thinking that way, you're not. So just don't go down that way. You're not that good. None of us are. But there's good news. There's absolutely, it's called the gospel. Jesus fulfilled it so you and I can be recipients of it. This is what they call Holy Week. Jesus was on his journey for a destination, not just for himself. It was a destination for you and me. It was a destination that he says, I'm not going just as myself. I'm going for the whole human race. And he had the whole human race in his. This is the way you need to look. There was a first Adam. What was Jesus called? The second Adam. Why? Because the first Adam had all of creation in him, and he affected the whole creation. So there had to be another Adam. But the problem with that is there couldn't be another Adam that was perfect. God says, I got a plan before the foundation of the earth. And the plan was Jesus was going to become the second Adam, and he was going to be just perfect. Like Adam was the first perfect one, Jesus was going to be the second Adam, and he was going to represent all of mankind that would believe upon him, that would believe upon him, that they would be recipients of that. Because listen to me, there couldn't be another person. There could not be another person to fulfill the destiny and make everything perfectly right where you and I could be righteous, sanctified, and holy ever again. The only way to do it, and God took it as, okay, I'll accept that. It was the sacrifice of animals. And then it was only good for a year. It had to be done again and again and again and again for all eternity until the second Adam showed up and he says, I got this. Because my blood is not the blood of goats, sheep. My blood comes from my Father, which was perfectly without sin, without stain. And that blood spilled out of his body and went to this earth and touched the earth. And why was it on this planet? To redeem, to restore, and give us authority and power and everything that Jesus was and is. Everything because of the blood spilled on this planet. The blood of heaven. Man, you talk about, you know, Star Trek does, and they disappear, and they end up in that. So God's blood went from heaven, and it's here. And it's always here. It's never going to leave. So no matter, listen to me, this is, I'm over. My point that I wanted to get to, which I never got to, is this. There was a great celebration on Palm Sunday. But the tomb was coming. Darkness was coming. Resurrection was coming after that. But before there was a resurrection, there was a crucifixion, there was a tomb. I was thinking about, you know, there's times this planet, there's been great celebration, great times of victory, great times of prosperity. Before 2020, it just seemed like things were going really, really well. And then COVID happened. And it just seems like there was a darkness. And then that darkness just opened up Pandora's box. All hell broke loose, it seems like, in the last 2 or 3 years, you know. Everything, the world just, common sense, left the planet. I don't know how or why, but it just left. It just, like, got sucked out of the vacuum, you know. I mean, like, COVID, it not only affected people's bodies, it affected people's thought process. And you just think of the darkness that overwhelmed. And, you know, this is what I want you all to know. And sometimes people, this is what's going on in the world. But then people, we have that. We have a time of celebration. And then you can have a time of darkness and like a tomb time. This is what I want you to know. I'll close with this. About Jesus said this. The gates of hell will never prevail over the church. My point is this. It doesn't matter how dark it is. It doesn't matter how many tombs they can put you in, the world can put you in, or any tombs you dig yourself. We've all probably put ourselves into a tomb and helped roll the stone over the mouth of it, you know? Yeah. Okay, yeah, all right. We've all had those times. But God wants you and I to know this, that darkness can never, ever overcome the light. So I don't care. You know, I read some articles this week, you know, sometimes I wish I wouldn't read them. They said, you know, great persecution is going to come to the church if they say, but if, you know, if you say anything against culture, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be the person who is a hater if you say anything against it. Just so you know, I don't get my opinions from culture. The Word of God is where you and I get our thought process. It's not from what people think, you know. Well, I really believe this. Well, that's good, but this is what the Bible says about that subject. End of story. End of story. So don't get swallowed up into the culture and that people think, well, you're just not very loving because you disagree with this and you disagree with that. Yeah, I disagree with that. And no, you're wrong. I can love people that I disagree with, but I'm not going to compromise my belief system. Are you hearing me? So it doesn't matter how dark things get. Doesn't matter how much persecution the church gets or you and I get. This is what I know. I thought of the story of when Jesus was in the boat and he was asleep and his disciples, Jesus said, we're going over to the other side. All of the disciples got in the boat. Man, then Hurricane Katrina came, man. I mean, it was bad news. And Jesus was asleep. I don't know about you, but if I'm in the car, I don't sleep good in the car. I mean, somebody just moves the car just a little bit. Melody knows. I need to get over this. I know. But I go, what? What's going on? I just changed lanes. Oh, you did? Oh, okay. He's in a, can you imagine? Just let your imagination go there. In a boat. It's just crashing and it's rolling to the left and then rolling to the right and then just goes up and then it comes crashing down. And it's not Disney World. You understand? It is life. And he's sleeping through all of that without drugs. I mean, man. He's sleeping all the way through that. And his disciples are professional fishermen. Professional. So they know, this isn't too bad, you know. I've said that before when I've been flying. You know, I was flying in the Air Force, and I've been in some storms that, you cry out to Jesus. I mean, when the plane just boom, drops hundreds of feet in one split second, yeah, you don't care if every atheist in the world there, you go, Jesus! Help us now. You don't care, man. I mean, so I've been in some storms and stuff. So, and then when you get, you know, flying your commercial and it's, you know, some turbulence, everybody goes, oh, no. I go, honey, it's okay. This is not a storm. This is not a storm. That's the way the disciples were. They knew. They've been in some storms. And so this time, though, they knew it was a storm that could kill them. Are you hearing me? They were in a storm that could kill them. They said, they woke Jesus up and said, don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care? Jesus woke up and looked at him and goes, you woke me up for this. Looks at Peter and says, first of all, this is how you do it. Secondly, where was your faith? In other words, you had the ability to do that. But my point that I want to get across is this. My 20th point. I think we're around 20 now. My point I want to get across is this. Is that no matter how bad the storm gets in America or the United States or the world, no matter how bad the storm is, remember that Jesus is in the boat. And he will get you to your destination no matter how bad the storm is. If they say it's a storm that's going to take our life, Jesus is in the boat. It's a storm that's going to take all of our health. Jesus is in the boat. It's a storm that's going to take all of our financial prosperity away. Jesus is in the boat. That illustration or that story in the Bible is not just one to tell at Sunday school. It's for you and me to remember that no matter how dark it gets, no matter what, Jesus is in the boat and we're going to the other side. Let's stand. Amen. Praise God. We want to pray for you this morning. And if you need prayer this morning, if you want to pray for healing in your body, on my right, on my left. Who? Ron and Zoe. On my left. Here they come. On my left and on your right. If you need anything to pray about. If you're here this morning, man, you say, man, this Jesus you're talking about, I don't even know if I know him or not. You come up here, they'll introduce you to him. You can walk away as a son or a daughter in God. Amen. Being filled with the Spirit, they can talk to you about that. Healing for your body, they'll pray for you and agree with you. Your kids, your job, whatever. Anything that you want to pray about, these people will pray for you and with you. Amen. Let me pray for you before we close. Father, I just thank you. You're reminding us today, and most of this was just a reminder. Most of us have heard the good news before, that you have paid the price for us. We've heard that by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. We've heard that. We've heard that you provide all of our needs. We've heard that. That you're with us, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We've heard that. But Father, I believe there's such a stirring within us that we know that we walk in that, and that it is being manifested in our life. It is being manifested in our life. Thank you, Lord, for truth. Your truth, God. You are the only one with the right truth. So thank you for that truth being manifested in our life today. In Jesus' name, amen.